Nemoto presents filmmaking giants. Oliver Stone, the provocateur of American politics. Narrated with Microsoft Azure using the Christopher voice. Running time, approximately 11 minutes. Oliver Stone, the provocateur of American politics. The jungle presses in on all sides. Rain falls in sheets, the ground is mud, the night filled with sudden flares of gunfire. A 19-year-old American soldier crouches in the muck, his uniform soaked, his mind reeling from fear. Later he will remember this not only as a nightmare but as a furnace. Later he will take these sights and sounds, the cries of wounded men, the blur of morality, and pour them into cinema. That soldier is Oliver Stone. Vietnam marked him with scars visible and invisible. It would become both his obsession and his weapon. For Stone, film was never escape. It was confrontation. He believed movies could wound, could heal, could demand that a nation look at truths it would rather bury. Stone was born in 1946 in New York City, the only child of Louis Stone, a Wall Street broker, and Jacqueline, a Frenchwoman. His early life was privileged. Summers at country clubs, the aura of affluence. But beneath the comfort ran fracture. His parents' marriage fell apart, and the divorce shattered him. Later he described it as the collapse of his world, the seed of his mistrust of authority and institutions. At Yale he studied briefly before dropping out, restless, searching. He taught English in South Vietnam in 1965, a strange foreshadowing of what was to come, then enlisted in the U.S. Army in 1967. He saw combat with the 25th Infantry Division, wounded twice, awarded the Bronze Star and Purple Heart. The boy from Wall Street privilege had gone into the jungle and returned someone else. When he came back, America was in turmoil. The war divided generations, the counterculture raged, and cinema itself was about to change. Stone studied film at NYU, under teachers like Martin Scorsese, who encouraged his bluntness and intensity. He began with shorts, then moved into screenwriting. His scripts were raw, often excessive, but they had force. Midnight Express, 1978, about an American jailed in Turkey for drug smuggling, was shocking in its violence, unforgettable in its sense of entrapment. It won him an Oscar. Soon after came Scarface, 1983, directed by Brian De Palma from Stone's script, turning Al Pacino into Tony Montana, the Cuban gangster who builds an empire on cocaine and paranoia. Audiences were divided, critics appalled, but the film became iconic. Its lurid dialogue, excess, and operatic downfall embodied both the American dream and its corruption. Stone had a knack for stories where systems devour individuals and where individuals corrupt themselves with power. But writing was not enough. He wanted to direct, to seize control of images and sounds. He made smaller features, Seizure, 1974, The Hand, 1981, that hinted at his obsessions with control, violence, and paranoia. They did not land. 4 years Stone seemed destined to be a troubled talent in the margins. Then came the script that would save him and nearly kill him, Platoon. Stone had tried for a decade to get it made. Studios recoiled, too grim, too political, too unflattering to America's myth of itself. But by the mid-1980s, with Vietnam films like Coming Home and The Deer Hunter paving the way, the time was right. Shot in the Philippines with young actors forced through military training, Platoon depicted war as moral collapse. Charlie Sheen's soldier is pulled between two sergeants. Elias, played by Willem Dafoe, compassionate but weary, and Barnes, played by Tom Berenger, brutal and unyielding. The film does not glorify combat. It immerses the viewer in confusion, mud, fear, and betrayal. Stone poured his own nightmares into the story. When it opened in 1986, audiences were stunned. It won the Academy Award for Best Picture, and Stone won Best Director. He had taken his trauma and turned it into a reckoning for a nation. He followed swiftly with Wall Street, 1987. Where Platoon dissected war, Wall Street dissected capitalism. Michael Douglas as Gordon Gekko embodied greed in suspenders and slicked hair. His mantra, "Greed is good," intended by Stone as condemnation, was embraced by traitors as a battle cry. The film captured the ethos of the Reagan era, the frenzy of money and power. Stone knew this world through his father, a stockbroker whose disillusionment after the crash colored Stone's own cynicism. Wall Street proved Stone could move from battlefield to boardroom without losing intensity. Then came Born on the 4th of July, 1989, adapted from Ron Kovic's memoir. Tom Cruise transformed himself to play the patriotic boy-turned-paralyzed veteran-turned-anti-war activist. For Cruise, it was a career-defining risk. For Stone, it was another exorcism. He staged not just battles but hospital wards, protests, the agony of disillusionment. The film earned Stone his second directing Oscar. In three films, Platoon, Wall Street, Born on the 4th of July, he had mapped America's late 20th century crises, war, greed, and betrayal. But Stone's ambition was bottomless. In 1991, he made JFK, an epic fever dream of conspiracy. Kevin Costner's Jim Garrison investigates the assassination of Kennedy, and Stone intercuts archival footage with dramatization, black and white with color, newsreel with hallucination. The editing is relentless, designed to overwhelm. The film suggests a vast cover-up, implicating the CIA, the military-industrial complex, shadowy networks. Critics accuse Stone of distortion, of inventing. But JFK did what no congressional report had. It reignited national debate. It even led to the release of sealed government documents. Stone's belief that cinema could be a political act was vindicated. The early 1990s cemented Stone as both artist and lightning rod. The Doors, 1991, indulged his fascination with excess, telling Jim Morrison's story as psychedelic opera. Heaven and Earth, 1993, looked at Vietnam through the eyes of a Vietnamese woman, expanding his war saga into cultural encounter. But it was Natural Born Killers, 1994, that made headlines. Based on a story by Quentin Tarantino, Stone turned it into a hallucinatory satire of media, violence, and celebrity culture. Woody Harrelson and Juliette Lewis play Mickey and Mallory, lovers on a killing spree turned folk heroes by television. The film is edited like a kaleidoscope, shifting film stocks, cartoon inserts, relentless sound. Stone wanted to indict a culture that turned killers into stars. Critics accused him of doing the opposite. The film was blamed for inspiring real crimes. It remains one of the most divisive films of the 1990s, a testament to Stone's willingness to provoke at any cost. His next major project, Nixon, 1995, sought to humanize a reviled president. Anthony Hopkins gave a performance of paranoia and pathos, portraying Nixon as tragic, haunted by demons. The film was long, ambitious, and underappreciated at release. But it showed Stone's fascination with power as tragedy, leaders undone by both circumstance and flaw. Later works, Any Given Sunday, 1999, about football as modern gladiator combat, and Alexander, 2004, an epic that stumbled under its own weight, revealed his range and his excesses. Stone's films could soar and they could collapse. He never played safe. As the years passed, Stone turned increasingly to documentary. He filmed Fidel Castro, Hugo Chavez, and Vladimir Putin, drawing criticism for being too sympathetic. Yet his intent was consistent: to question American narratives, to give voice to the figures painted as enemies. He remained driven by suspicion of authority, by a conviction that truth lies hidden beneath official stories. In 2016, Snowden dramatized the whistleblower's revelations about government surveillance, continuing Stone's decades-long critique of secrecy and power. Stone's style is unmistakable. He cuts fast, layers sound, assaults with imagery. His films are not subtle, they are symphonies of outrage. He blends realism with surreal flourishes, often tilting toward excess. To some, that makes his work undisciplined. To others, it makes it urgent. He forces you to feel, not just to think. Watching a Stone film is to be implicated, unsettled, accused. Critics have always been divided. Some hail him as one of the few American directors willing to use Hollywood spectacle to question America itself. Others dismiss him as conspiratorial, melodramatic. But even his detractors acknowledge his impact. He pushed topics, Vietnam, greed, assassination, surveillance, into mainstream cinema with a ferocity few dared. He is less an aesthete than a polemicist, less concerned with polish than with punch. In that, he belongs to a lineage of artists for whom provocation is principle. What makes Oliver Stone a giant is not consistency but audacity. He embodies the belief that movies matter, that they can shape debate, awaken conscience, disturb comfort. He risked ridicule, bans, blame, and still made films that spoke to the wounds of his time. His Vietnam trilogy, Platoon, born on the 4th of July, Heaven and Earth, remains one of the most searing artistic reckonings with that war. His political thrillers, from JFK to Snowden, remind us how fragile truth is. His satires and portraits of excess mirror America's own contradictions. In later years, Stone has become almost a relic of another era, when directors could command massive budgets for political cinema. Hollywood no longer funds such risks. Yet his legacy is secure. Younger filmmakers cite him as proof that anger can fuel art, that cinema can confront as well as entertain. His films are studied, debated, revisited, not for their restraint but for their refusal to be restrained. Oliver Stone is the filmmaker as warrior, as agitator, as provocateur. He is not subtle, not always right, not always successful. But he is essential. He reminds us that art can be dangerous, that truth is contested, that cinema can be a battlefield. He fought his wars on screen, and through them he made America look at itself in the mirror, whether it wanted to or not.